Hello and welcome to the Just Interesting podcast with me, Robin, and Martin and Alex.
Hello.
Hello. How's it going, Robin?
All right, thank you. How are you both doing? Are you coping with another heat wave in the UK?
Oh, get used to it. Yep. This is the new normal, as they say.
This is the coldest summer okay. we'll have for the next 50 years.
Exactly.
Probably a bit longer after that as well.
We've got lots of company in the chat already. This is great. Everyone's here. It's amazing. We've got Paul Atwell, Chantel Horton, who says, "Hey guys, first time catching the show live. Perfect company as I cross-stitch this evening." Ooh, we're podcasting to cross-stitching, fellas. That's possibly the most exciting thing that's ever happened live before. Kay Rowe says hello. Hidden History with Ray, P. Greg, Spiffing, and Recu97. Regular.
Oh, we've got the classics in the chat. Spiffing's back. Recu97's in the chat. Lovely to see you all.
So good to see you all. So good to see you all. Today we shall be discussing something that was purely a coincidence, because on the 8th of August, 40 years ago, no, not 40 years ago, 38 years ago, a certain president of the United States resigned. Because of an incredible political scandal that we'll be discussing today, which involves the missing Watergate tapes. What happened to them? 18 and a half minutes, infamously missing from the secret White House recordings in President Nixon's Oval Office. But where are they? Will we find out? Maybe someone thinks they can find out. But as it happens, that was just a suggestion because it was the anniversary. And then, weirdly, in the news, it got a bit topical with some strange things happening to another Republican president of the United States. So
people might think we're being a bit, indirect, like a bit too on the nose with our topic choice this week. But really, no, it's this
pure coincidence.
Purely, we wanted to talk about Nixon, who obviously are just striking while the iron is hot. Obviously,
yeah. Nixon will never grow old, especially now he's dead. But before we get to that topic, we'll be discussing things that we learned this week and addressing favourite comments of the week, or perhaps just chatting to you live in the chat. So please do send us questions, send us your comments, chat with us, give us your feedback on the things that we mention, and we'll hopefully see your comments and respond if we're keeping an eagle eye on things. And then, of course, we'll be concluding today's episode, as we usually do, with a quiz, but not just any quiz, because those eagle-eyed viewers of you watching us live on YouTube will see that the scoreboard currently has Robin on 5 victories, Martin on 6 victories, and Alex also on 6 victories, which means they're tied! Which means no one is the overall winner, and no one has a trophy. Well, no one has earned the trophy yet this season.
Yeah, let's
season.
Be real. Martin's got the trophy, and he will regardless of the winner.
I don't have the trophy. Come on.
Oh, go on. Show it off. Give me a tiny look at it. Please. I need to see it, Martin.
I want to keep it private, lads. Keep it private.
I need to see it.
Give me a tiny look at it. No. I've heard that comment too many times. But
for anyone following us on YouTube and paying attention to, or maybe paying attention to the goings on our Twitter account, you'll also notice that we met up the other day, didn't we, guys?
We did.
It was all deepfakes.
We did indeed.
It was all deepfakes.
It was lovely
seeing you boys the other day. And as someone commented on Twitter, was this the first time since 2020? And I think it was, wasn't it?
Yep. Yeah, that's true. Sure I think was. We recorded what? Episode 3 or something, and then
we
the
recorded
pandemic
like
hit.
three episodes. We bought a wall backdrop.
Yeah, yeah.
That was used for about 3 episodes at the start of this, and then never used again.
No,
but it was very nice seeing you both, and hopefully
it was so good to see.
We'll
you.
Be seeing each other again in the near future.
Yeah, who knows?
For what?
Why?
I cannot say.
Yes. Who knows?
I have to speculate. Yes.
All I know is There are always people to be found from this life and the next.
See
what I did there.
Yes.
I like it. Well, let's move on to things that we learned this week. Martin, what did you learn this week?
Have you heard of a little-known ship called Titanic?
No.
Titanic?
I believe that it hasn't been brought up much in popular culture. But it is quite interesting regardless. So I'll tell you a little bit about a boy who was aboard that ship.
Okay.
And this boy was called Frank John William Goldsmith. Bit of a mouthful, There we go.
That's what she said.
And Frank, little Frank, was 10 years old on that fateful voyage. So Frank's mum and dad, Frank Sr. and Emily, they boarded the Titanic because their parents and the rest of their family had previously emigrated from the UK to Detroit in America for work.
Okay.
And so boarded Titanic in third class passengers. His dad was like a tool maker, so you know, third class was about right for the family. And they set off on their journey. And of course, disaster struck. Titanic hit an iceberg, and the women and children were actually, you know, they were actually let off first.
So the story goes.
And so Frank Sr., of course, unfortunately perished. Oh, said, I'll see you later. Oh. See you later. And he didn't make it to the destination. But Frank fortunately did. And so he ended up in New York. And then the Salvation Army helped the family out and gave them a place to live in Detroit. So they got there, you know, to meet up basically with the extended family.
Yeah.
Right.
And but there's a bit of a tragic. I mean, of course, Frank believed that his father would come back. He wished and longed for it and thought maybe another boat would have picked him up and it would have would have brought him back to the moose. You know, he's hoping that he'd walk through the door, but he never did. The upsetting part here is that Frank developed a little bit of PTSD in Detroit. They were moved to a baseball stadium from the Detroit Tigers. Oh. And whenever he heard the roars go up from the crowd, he imagined and relived people screaming and drowning on the Titanic.
Oh, gosh.
So that's pretty much the story, unfortunately. And he never ever went to a baseball game and never took his children as a result. So,
Martin, I was really waiting for his dad to come back then. I thought this was like
an horrible story.
And little Frank grew up to be the president or something like that. No, you're just like, and he had PTSD for the rest of his days.
Yes.
No. Just a horrible experience on the Titanic.
Yeah, just really. But he did write his memoirs about being on the Titanic that day. And I imagined that quite possibly helped him with his
I hope so.
His issues and PTSD. Yeah. But yeah, he's written quite a famous book about him called Echoes in the Night, Memoirs of a Titanic Survivor, that was released in 1991. So there we go.
Oh, wow. So quite a long time after the fact.
Yeah.
I mean, that was released actually after his death as well. Because he died in 1982. It was released later.
Yeah.
But there we go.
That's what makes you think
William
about
Goldsmith.
Makes you think about all the real tragic stories that happened because of that event. Mm. And one of my favorite comments about the movie Titanic is the incident that spawned countless tragic real stories comes this fake one.
I mean, it's interesting when they do that. They get like a story that actually is, of course, dramatic enough to tell, and it's at least rough approximation of truth, and then they're like, no, we need like a villain who's trying to get them, and we need two love birds.
I find it interesting. It's like it came out a couple of years afterwards, and I guess the similarities are deliberate, but Pearl Harbor, remember that with Ben Affleck and came back and
don't take away my wings.
Was it Josh Hartnett?
Don't take away my wings.
That's the same kind of like, let's insert a fictional love triangle with these made-up characters into a real event that was actually quite tragic in many ways, and one film is much maligned and the other film is celebrated and the biggest hit of all time, well, until Avatar and the Avengers. It's quite funny.
The same
approach but different results.
I mean, it was trying to get that Titanic money, wasn't it? Pearl Harbor.
It totally was. Yeah,
it was going for
totally. Pearl Harbor. Yeah, I mean, it did pretty well, right? It was in every blockbuster across the UK.
And look what happened to Blockbuster. Sank like the Arizona or whichever ship was sunk.
Pearl Harbor was Blockbuster's Pearl Harbor.
The Olympia.
Yeah. Ben Affleck is a torpedo for Blockbuster video stores.
Yeah.
Anyway. Well, thanks, Martin. That was an interesting story. And a good reminder of how PTSD affects not just the person suffering it, but, as you said, like his children. They grew up without baseball in their lives because of his PTSD. And that's quite good to be reminded of that, I think.
Yeah.
Alex,
I think if I was in the States, Sorry, man. I was going to say, I think it was in the States. Mm. I'd get into baseball. Chill yeah. out, sit there, eat nachos, just yeah. watch the game. I've been to one.
It seems pretty
game.
Chill. I'd probably be into it. Let's go. Let's go sometime. Let's go to a baseball game. Yeah.
We'll Could do you?
That. We'll play some catch.
I was with someone, though, who you guys both know.
Okay.
And I'll tell you who it was afterwards, who just kept on shouting, swing bada, 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 bada. And everyone was just looking at him. So that was interesting.
Amazing.
Every single time the pitcher went up?
Every time. Well, not every time. Because it goes on for like 5 hours. Happens. But yeah, like for the first, like we sat down for the first like 10 balls. We just yeah. said it on every ball. And people don't do that at the game.
Nice.
Alex, what did you learn this week?
I'll tell you what I learned, Robin. But first, I'd like to address some of these comments because they keep coming in and they're piling up. So first of all, Lingham the One says, oh, seeing you guys reunited the other day was like the Avengers reforming after Civil War. And I think that's the nicest thing I've ever heard.
Actually,
thank
might
you
be.
So much
yeah.
comparing us to the Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
That's mm-hmm.
that's wow. Yeah, that's a huge compliment. Thank you.
And then PKK says, Alex, have you gotten the cup? No, I haven't. And I expect I never will. But we'll see. And P. Greg says, my fact of the week is that the raincoat was apparently invented in Glasgow, which is my hometown. So, I mean, that's a very believable fact of the week. Again,
yeah.
we're not going to fact check that. So
is
we're
that
taking
the
you at face Mac- value, but that sounds believable.
Is that the Macintosh? Is that what it is? The Mac?
I guess so. Yeah,
that would make sense.
I'm guessing.
Lots of rain.
Yeah.
I mean,
lots
there's a lot
rain.
Of things pointing that way.
But Robin, what I learned this week is actually a fact about currency. What do you think is the oldest currency still in circulation today?
Oh, trick question.
Mm, yeah, definitely it's a QI thing,
it's
right?
Definitely,
here.
Yeah.
Because you want us to say gold, and we're not going to do it. We're just not going to do it.
Is it Dogecoin?
Yes, it's Dogecoin. What? No, it's not. It's not Dogecoin.
Is it?
No.
Is it prostitution? That's how
it is not prostitution, though. Maybe a bit too abstract. No, we're talking like an actual currency. Mm.
Well,
you know,
the patriot in me would like to say the British pound, but it can't be. It's going to
well,
be
I mean, if you said the British pound, you would be absolutely correct, Robin.
Really?
What?
The British pound has been in circulation for over 1,200 years, dating back to Anglo-Saxon times. Underwent some changes before being the currency we know and love today. but yeah, no, it's one of the oldest and, well, it's the oldest currency still traded today. It ranks fourth, with the other traded currencies being the US dollar, the euro, and the Japanese yen, just above it. So back okay. then, it was equivalent to £1 of silver.
Right, yeah.
And £1 could buy you 15 cows, so...
Whoa.
They said it's, you
cheap
know, the price has gone up a little bit.
So just be careful when you order a pound of beef at the butchers.
You get 15 cows,
get 15
worth,
cows
yeah.
worth of beef. No, I'm exactly. sure they were cleverer than that.
And also, I learned a little fact about the pound sign. Hmm. You know, the
where
yeah,
that
yeah. comes from.
Yeah.
It's written with usually written with one line across.
Hmm.
But it comes from the letter L, which is written in many old Latin documents, which meant the word libra, or weight balance, because it was literally just the weight of a pound in weight.
Mm.
So there you go.
Yeah,
just some little facts about the British currency
yeah.
for you.
No, those great facts. Fascinating. Very proud to have the oldest currency in the world. That's great.
And it doesn't end with any form of tragedy or
Titanic or anything. Once a pound of beef fell on someone's head and they died.
Probably.
Yeah. And
it will have happened.
Yeah.
Sometime in history, a pound
cows.
Of beef.
Almost certainly. Yeah.
To the gram.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I'm confusing metric and imperial here on purpose.
I will also say, before you guys guessed it, K. Rowe in the comments said the pound straight away.
Oh,
and
nice.
P. Greg, I think, also said the pound. So. There you go.
Impressive.
Well, that bodes well for the quiz at the end of tonight's episode, doesn't it?
It does indeed.
I think
the
audience is going to score very highly based on this.
But
extrapolating,
Robin,
massively from nothing. Yes?
I'm interested. What have you learned this week?
What have I learned this week? Well, I have to confess, I actually learned this a few weeks ago, and I've been meaning to bring it up, but then something else interesting keeps coming along.
You can't bring
so
it up.
So I can't really bring this up,
can I? That's
not
how it works.
I'm breaking the rules. Oh, no.
Don't you dare.
But I can say, I was reminded this week, can I say that?
Yeah.
Of a recent discovery by archaeologists, paleontologists, in Argentina. You may have seen this in the news. They found a new kind of giant dinosaur predator with a 4-foot-long skull, but only 2-foot-long arms.
Oh. Another one of those?
Yeah,
rubbish.
Another one of those. But what this is why it's interesting, because it's very similar in shape to the T-Rex that we know and love, with its dilly little arms that don't seem to be good for anything. But this time they found enough of the skeleton intact around the arms to extrapolate from the bone structure that it actually had incredibly powerful pectoral and upper arm muscles.
Ooh.
So even though its arms are very short, too short for this 36-foot-long creature, it had very strong arms. So they now think they have some ideas about why those short arms might have been useful and how those big predators evolved to have small arms, despite the fact you think, oh, they're no good for anything.
I'm very curious about this because, yeah, why are the arms so small? What's the advantage
the prey
of that?
Would see them and laugh because it looks so funny.
They've been caught off
guard. They could run away.
They were disarmingly funny.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah.
Thank you.
Very good.
Well, you set me up, Martin.
That's the fact.
Yeah. No, well, I wanted to bring this up because part of this reasoning, this scientific breakthrough in inverted commas, is just like, well, that's obvious. And he says, they may have been used to support themselves to stand back up after they fell. And I thought, well, you know, arms, yes, I suppose. that's one thing. But the other thing, actually, is perhaps more interesting. They're now speculating that, given the positioning of the arms and the strength of the arms, they think they may have needed these powerful but short arms to hold their female mates in place whilst they reproduced.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
To kind of steady them, keep them steady.
Again, though, with both of these things, why are short arms better for that? Why did they evolve?
I'm just too
short
far
arms?
Away. I'm just holding you out. Arms length.
I mean, you've seen the shape of a T-Rex. You try kind of like landing on it. How often have you landed on your significant other and your arms have just been all over the place and in the way? Little short arms would be quite useful, wouldn't they?
Like one of those things at a car wash. Like.
Do you know what would be a good reason for having short arms? For when you're trying to sleep on your side. I hate that.
Yeah.
I wish I could like just have detachable arms at night time. And just or cut them off, and then sew them back on.
Frontal arms that are not on your shoulders going at the side, but like at the front.
Lay on the side.
Yeah. It's quite annoying. It's funny though, because we're getting off on a tangent here, but now that you've raised the point, most of the time I sleep on my side. That's how I get to sleep. I can't sleep on my back or my front.
Yes.
But I don't notice it. And then there are some nights where I really notice the fact that I'm lying on my arm and I just can't get over it. It's really bizarre that some nights it's just like my arm is just under me and it's there and I can't move it out the way. And I don't know why some nights that's a thing and other nights it isn't. So, interesting fact about my sleeping habits. Anyway.
No, I know I didn't really respond to that, but I get the exact same thing. I'm nodding in agreement, but that doesn't translate with a podcast. I know exactly what you mean, Robin.
Well, thank you, Alex. Thanks for trying to save my bacon here. We've got some more facts in the comments. From Spiffing says, another fact, during the Black Death, incoming ships were forced to wait for 40 days to prevent possible infection. The Italian word for 40, quaranta, is where we get the word quarantine from.
Nice.
This is true. This is a good fact. That's a very good fact.
That's a very good fact. Yeah. I think that's better than my fact, for sure.
Ooh,
that's a good fact.
I don't know. I think the pound is just as relevant as the plague these days.
It is. Yeah, that's very true. Yeah. Cost of living crisis.
What was in news?
Very true.
Right then. Well, gentlemen, would you like to know what happened to the missing Watergate tapes?
Yes.
Absolutely.
No, I mean, yes.
Thanks, Martin.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
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 If you're
about to
tell
us,
what
happens? Do we just shut this down?
Well, I don't know. I'd have to come up with something else. But before we do that, gentlemen, I'm teasing you. We're going to look at some comments. Are there any comments that you'd like to address, either in the live chat now or commented on previous videos from the past couple of weeks.
I mean, there's one that I would like to bring up from the last podcast episode.
Yeah.
This is, you kind of hinted, Robin, that people should maybe, or asked if they were listening to the podcast during their intimate time.
And I did. That's true.
Andras Weninger says, yes, Robin, I would definitely put on Just Interesting podcast when during sex. Thanks for the idea. 10 out of 10. So thank you for that, Robin. Thanks for that. That's nice. Encouraging people.
I wasn't the only person as well. I did read a couple of others.
Yeah.
Actually quite disturbing, really. And then I looked through and thought, oh, what episode would be the worst? And, and there's a few contenders. I've got to be honest. There are a few contenders. I thought that... does this leak prove that the Putin-Trump plot was probably quite a bad one? and what other one was pretty...
So what's like a really horrific kind of story that we've covered? Like the Dyatlov Pass, that would be a pretty unfunny.
Yeah, that'd be pretty mean. There was about the young boy who was kidnapped by the serial killer. And the changeling. Child who pretended to be him. What was his
name?
That
would be, that'd be pretty bad.
That would be pretty bad whilst making love. Although it depends. Everyone has their kinks. I'm not going to.
Walter Collins.
That was his name. Walter Collins. Thank you. Goes to show, peek behind the curtain here, everybody listening to this. If we don't edit this out for the for the audio version, we don't necessarily remember everything that we talk about on these episodes.
Actually, episode 15, the most unethical medical study in US history.
That's the one.
Tuskegee.
That's the one.
That'd be
pretty bad, wouldn't it?
That'd be the worst, I think. Yeah.
It's pretty bad.
Yeah. Let's see if we can top that, fellas. Let's see if we can make something really, really bad. Not tonight, sadly, but...
Maybe it's worth mentioning as well, at this point, that we've just started a new season of the podcast. So if anyone out there had any ideas for what they'd like to see us discuss... So why not send us a message over on Twitter at jinterestingyt, or I'm at justalexing.
I'm at alltimerobin.
I didn't realize that you had gone. Sorry, I was still looking at the potential episodes for lovemaking. At martinteresting.
Yeah. So, last week's episode, we didn't. I didn't even see that story until was it Spiffing shared it with us on Twitter.
Simon Workman.
Simon Workman.
And a couple of others also sent us emails about it, actually. But Simon was the one who tweeted at us. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's worth it. It's worth it to message us something if you think you'd like to see us discuss it, because we may well do.
Yeah. Please do. Suggestions are very, very welcome.
And if we don't do it here, we may well do it over on the Patreon.
We may indeed.
We may. What have we done recently over on the Patreon?
Good question.
Oh, that is a good question.
We spoke about
the FBI raids, didn't we? Was that just before? No, it wasn't. It was about Trump burying Ivana
course. The golf course. The burial on the golf course. I'd love to hear what people think about that, because that was that was quite something, wasn't it? How did he like divorced her in like the 90s? What's going on there? How does he get to decide where she's buried?
It's
in a pauper's grave on his golf course.
It's pretty sus.
It's so on brand. It's so brand Trump.
It really is.
he layered it with steaks on top. Trump steaks. Out of date Trump steaks.
Oh, yeah. That'd be horrible. But very much plausible. Very much plausible. Yes. Yeah, we discussed many things. We may even do a little more interesting. That's what we call the Patreon exclusives and the YouTube members exclusives. So if you want to be a YouTube member or support us on Patreon, please do head over to patreon.com or become a YouTube member by clicking the button under the YouTube videos or on the channel page. Of course, if you listen to us on a podcast platform of your choice, then thank you. And, you know, if you can, leave us a review. Give us a like if it's an option. I don't know what all the podcast platforms do. Depends on your depends on what it does. But yeah, they're called a little more interesting, and at least one a week. Sometimes more if we're feeling generous. Well, there's more
or
to talk about.
Or we forget to upload the previous week.
That's also a thing that occasionally happens.
I was just having a look, and like the husband wins right to use late wife's embryo. That was a little while ago.
That was my bad.
We went out on the 5th of August. So
it's been we've been a bit inconsistent lately, but thanks for setting me up for that, guys. Thanks. I just wanted to draw attention to a comment, actually, on our first ever YouTube short that went live at the weekend, courtesy of Alex, documenting our very first meeting since before the plague began.
I was ambushed.
You were ambushed, yeah. Alex got a little bit anxious, I think, is the word here, about the location of his trophy, which Martin still has somewhere. And we've got lots of lovely comments.
Just off screen, I do not have it.
It's right there. lots of lovely comments on that video. Really great comments.
It was truly wholesome. Yeah.
But Joseph did comment, please don't shout at Martin.
I'm sorry. Things got a bit heated. I'm sorry.
I did. It was in my ear, and I wasn't ready for it. So I look relaxed. I'm sure I look quite relaxed. Like, well, I'm going on with this. Afterwards, I was furious.
But actually, no.
Absolutely furious. Furious. If you do that again, I will knock you on this podcast. I said, didn't I? Yeah. Absolutely fuming. Went home after that.
I think possibly my favorite comment though is from Ian William Davidson, who says, "Pissing hell, the Blues Brothers have gotten the band back together." Which
the band? Which that was good.
I thought was a very apt comment for because one of our favourite films, Blues Brothers.
My favourite film.
Martin's all-time favourite film.
My all-time favourite. It has everything. It's got comedy. It's got great music. It's got Nazis. It's got action. It's got everything.
Nice.
Everyone loves some Nazis.
Carrie Fisher.
Oh yeah.
Everything.
Yeah, she's in it too. And Twiggy. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
And
there's just so much going for it.
Oh, what's his name? Dan Aykroyd, who's an avid conspiracy theory believer.
He is indeed. Yeah. And he has his crystal skull vodka or whatever it is.
Yeah. One day we'll be sponsored by them. One day. Dan Aykroyd's crystal skull vodka. Yeah.
All right then, gentlemen. What happened to the missing Watergate tapes? Do we
know? You tell me.
Yes, let me recount the background for those who are unfamiliar, because it was a long time ago, and everyone knows about Watergate, but not everyone is aware of the kind of the nitty-gritty details. So I'll try to kind of summarise it as succinctly as I can. So, nearly 40 years ago, on the 8th of August, 1974, Republican President Richard Nixon announced his resignation from the presidency of the United States, making him the first and only president to resign from office. His resignation came 10 days before members of Congress were scheduled to debate and vote on articles of impeachment against him for obstruction of justice, abuse of power, and contempt of Congress in his attempts to cover up the government's involvement in the Watergate scandal, which is a controversy that started when several men were arrested for breaking into the Democratic Party headquarters in the Watergate complex in Washington, D.C. in the run-up to the 1972 presidential election. Those burglars were attempting to repair illegal wiretaps that they had installed earlier that year, and investigations revealed that the burglars were being funded by donations that were being illegally diverted from the campaign funds of the Committee to Re-elect the President, which, hilariously, is known as CREEP, for short. I know, couldn't make it up. Now,
are we the baddies?
Yeah. Nixon was actually unaware of the break-in until the burglars were caught. But once they were, he ordered the CIA to illegally block the FBI's investigation into the burglary, while simultaneously his appointed acting director of the FBI destroyed evidence connecting the burglars to Nixon. Nixon also publicly lied that his White House counselor had investigated the break-in when he actually hadn't. How do we know all this? Well, conversations in the Oval Office of the White House have been secretly recorded on hidden tapes since at least FDR's presidency in 1940. But Nixon probably recorded more than any of his predecessors. And as part of the investigation into the Watergate scandal, the special prosecutor, Archibald Cox, requested the Oval Office tapes, but Nixon refused. And when Cox persisted, Nixon fired him, prompting a series of protest resignations in the Justice Department that became known as the Saturday Night Massacre on October the 20th, 1973. Mm. This then prompted Nixon to hand over some of the tapes. But in the middle of a 79-minute recording of a conversation between Nixon and his chief of staff, Bob Haldeman, made 3 days after the Watergate burglary, there was an 18-minute and 30-second gap.
Mm-hmm.
So,
what happened? What was said?
What's your instinct? I was going to
just ask. As an aside point here, and I don't want to divert too much, but I think we first spoke about this probably in about 2015, and everyone's like, "Oh my goodness!" Like Watergate, that was the biggest political scandal of our time. well, not of our time, of in living memory. Mm. Everything is called something gate after it as a result of this. And then you look at Trump's presidency and like, if this was Trump, it would nothing would happen. Like, it would be like, Trump again.
Yeah, well, exactly. Yeah, I mean, that's why it's
and I'm almost not trying to downplay the significance of Watergate at all as a cultural phenomenon, but it seems like the threshold has changed quite dramatically for something to be a scandal.
That's why we were saying, like, earlier, it's just a coincidence that we're talking about this this week when the FBI has raided Trump's house. That's bananas. Yeah,
it is mad, isn't it? And so, because throughout the last, well, the entirety 4 years of Trump's presidency, there were lots of comparisons between him and Nixon, and in particular, his the rumors about whether he would fire any Department of Justice staff in the same way that Nixon did, as well as whoever else he might fire. So it's incredible just how history has repeated itself. So I'm not glad, but I'm also glad that recent events have kind of brought some attention back onto what happened, you know, back in the 1970s. But the question is, fellas, what do you think caused that gap in the tapes?
Officially, wasn't it the secretary, the White House chief of staff or secretary or something, had accidentally hit the wrong button when she accepted a call? Wasn't that the official line?
Rosemary Woods, wasn't it?
That's right, yeah. Rosemary Woods, Nixon's private secretary, came out and said, oh, it was my fault. And her explanation was,
instead of hitting accept call, I hit delete records.
Oh, damn woman, that's what Nixon comes out with. Yeah.
So this is where, in the digital age, maybe it's helpful to have a reminder of how the technology works. So we're talking about physical tapes. We're calling them tapes because they're actual physical tapes. And they record sound by etching grooves into the tape. And you can erase it by filling those grooves in with a recording machine. The machine that records the tapes can also erase the tapes. And they had this funny setup where they used foot pedals at a desk to record and delete audio from these tapes. Mm-hmm. And Rosemary Woods claimed that she was sitting at her desk transcribing the tapes, as was part of her job. And then once she transcribed them, she would delete them and they'd reuse the tapes. Yeah. But she claims that she had a phone call midway through transcribing this particular tape and have accidentally, when the phone rang, she put her foot on the delete pedal and then she answered the phone. And when she got back to her desk, she realized she'd been deleting instead of whatever it was all this time. And oh no, she deleted several minutes worth of footage. Now, this excuse became known as the Rosemary Stretch. Because I don't know if you fellas can see this.
Oh, she is flexible. She is a flexible old woman.
It looked a little bit sketchy, didn't it?
Yeah.
The Rosemary Stretch.
Yeah. No, she's the scapegoat of scapegoats, isn't she? Yeah. Blame it on the secretary. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, she wasn't fired, though, I take it.
No, she wasn't. She was very loyal to Nixon. But it probably should be noted in her defense, and slightly bizarrely, although she insisted that she was responsible for deleting it, when asked how much of the tape she deleted, she said 4 or 5 minutes. Mm. Not 18 and a half.
You always trying to play these things, though, don't you?
Yeah, you try and minimise how much you messed up at your job.
Maybe.
Probably just, it couldn't have been more than 4 or 5.
Yeah, 4 or 5 minutes, yeah.
Well, how long were you on the phone for? Just like a couple of minutes?
Yeah, a couple of minutes. Yeah. 20 minutes in this really terrible position. No, I don't think that's likely. And in fact, a special panel was set up later in the 1970s under federal judge John Sirica. And they examined the tape and they concluded that the erasures were made in at least 5 separate segments.
Oh, right.
So it was a few minutes at a time, and a few minutes more, and a few minutes more, which is a bit
it doesn't suspicious. Quite add up, does it? That's not quite right.
Rosemary, come on.
Yeah.
So, I mean, talking of the tapes themselves, do you guys think that this 18 and a half minutes basically showed the Nixon knew what was going on with the burglary at Watergate?
Well, here's the thing. Many people, especially our American listeners, will probably have heard of the Smoking Gun tape, which is in July 1974, about a month before he resigned, the Supreme Court ordered Nixon to release all of the tapes, whereas before he'd refused to release them all. And amongst those tapes was the Smoking Gun tape, which records a conversation 6 days after the break-in between him and Bob Haldeman, the same person he's talking to in this missing tapes segment. And in that, they have a conversation where Nixon says, right, order the FBI to stop the investigation and let's pay some people off. And that's the one that prompted his resignation the next day, pretty much. So my question is, what on earth did they think was so bad that they deleted it on that tape? Since they later released the one that is the Smoking Gun tape, where he explicitly says, yeah, let's do it.
I mean, he was known for having a bit of a temper, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And maybe it was just something that made him look like a dickhead and would be bad for, bad for public, for PR. It was like a PR disaster of him like shouting and ranting and swearing. And it was like, if this gets released and some of these get made into memes and sound bites and played all over Facebook and the Twitters, then I'll be screwed in this new digital world.
Was this not, though? Also, everything that Rosemary was like recording and deleting wasn't live going on as he was speaking. This wasn't happening at that.
No, she was
time.
Reviewing the tapes after they'd been recorded. Okay. Yeah.
Which is worse.
I was going to say, otherwise, based on that hypothesis, did Nixon go up to her and say, now listen, Rosemary, I'm going to freak out in there for a bit. Okay, I'm going to scream and shout. Can you delete everything?
Yeah, no, exactly. Exactly.
But yeah, no, I that's a good point though, Robin. Like if they were going to or happy to release that tape, that was pretty damning. What was said on this one? I think it's what Scenario 51, and you can't convince me otherwise.
That's true.
Yeah.
I think in the end they only turned over about 60 hours of tapes, audio tapes, which is what a drop in the ocean of the things that were said in the Oval Office in the 6 years that Nixon was in there. So maybe that was that one bit of that conversation that pertained to Watergate was not about Watergate, but something else completely top secret. And actually, it's quite an innocent thing to delete.
Yeah, it could be classified. You can't even say that it was classified because it's too classified.
It's so top secret.
Yes,
yeah.
So top secret.
Because otherwise people would be more secret. Intrigued.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, that's an interesting theory, actually. I
hadn't
like that
thought
one.
Of that before. That's a really good one.
They would rather people think that it was something, you know, awful that Richard Nixon had said, as opposed to it's something so classified we can't even announce that it's classified. Yeah.
Though you think that if that was the case, someone would tell the FBI, like, leave it, mate. Like, don't ask me to hand over all the footage.
That's a good point, yeah.
Well, do you want to know what Nixon thought of it?
What did Nixon think of it?
In November 2011, a historian called Stanley Cutler requested that the National Archives release Nixon's testimony to a grand jury in 1975. And in his testimony, and I'm quoting Nixon here, he said, Rose had thought it was 4 minutes long, and now the counsel have found that it's 18 and a half minutes, and I practically blew my stack. He was shocked, he claimed, and he said it was just an accident and Rosemary was responsible. And he said, and he reminded them several times that he'd never heard that conversation. Obviously, he spoke it, but he'd never listened back to it. And he kept saying, bear in mind, I've never actually heard this, so I don't really know what you're talking about. So, I don't know if an innocent person, you know, protests that much, says, I don't know what you're really talking about, but, you know, it was an accident, and I had no idea that 18 minutes had been erased. It was just 4 minutes, Rosemary said, so, how terrible. You know, that sounds like a guilty person trying to cover their own tracks. And in fact, Chief of Staff Bob Haldeman resigned, and Alexander Haig replaced him just before Nixon resigned himself. And according to Haig, Nixon was spectacularly inept at handling mechanical devices. And Haig suggested that maybe Nixon did it himself accidentally.
Yeah.
You know, he was having a nosy, like, what did we talk about before we turn these tapes over? Let's listen to it. And then he just accidentally
deleted it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be a possibility.
And just what? Surely he would have just admitted it, though, right? I wanted to have a quick listen.
Because the him listening in before they submit it is the bad thing there.
Yeah, exactly. It's true.
That would be the ultimate kind of irony of Watergate, like, I guess, if what the actual 18 and a half minute discussion was just something totally innocent, actually made him seem like a really nice guy, but he accidentally deleted it because he was so inept at technology, and that's what got him.
I like the idea.
Yeah, that would be good. I like it.
Well, historians, sorry, found their name. A former CIA interrogator called Phil Houston and a historian called James Robinault actually think it wasn't Nixon, but it was possibly Alexander Haig, the fellow who said maybe Nixon was so stupid he did it accidentally. They say perhaps it was him who did it.
Ooh, okay, double bluff.
Yeah.
I like the theory, yeah.
And he did it out of a profound, obsessive sense of duty, essentially, to the president. Because he'd just come onto the job, Haldeman had just resigned, he's brand new, they're asking for the tapes, and he's like, oh crap, I'm the chief of staff, I've got to protect my president, I'll listen to the tapes and delete this thing. that's their suggestion. But maybe we'll never know who deleted them, although I think we can make a pretty good guess. Do we think we know what was said? We've discussed what might have been said and therefore why they might have deleted them, but there's a historian called Phil Mellinger who had the bright idea of looking at the notes that Bob Haldeman made. Because he used to make copious notes of all the conversations he had in every meeting, but particularly with Nixon. And he'd lost a lot of his personal notes when the Watergate investigation started.
It's funny that.
Yeah. And
no text on my phone.
And
is that an Alex Jones
dig? Yeah, I think it may have been.
It's partly that part of January 6th, you know, all the Secret Service agents and everyone basically in the GOP has mysteriously got a gap in their phone records.
Yeah. Well, this historian called Phil Mellinger or Mellinger, had the bright idea of consulting the notes that Haldeman took, and he noticed that Haldeman, known for making very detailed notes of his meetings, for this particular meeting pertaining to the recording that has the missing 18 minutes, he only had 2 pages of notes. And he thinks, well, he noticed that the pages were numbered as well, 1 in the top corner and 2 in the top corner, but the 1 and the 2, the 2 seem to be in a different pen to the pencil or whatever that was used for the rest.
So yeah. there were more pages, basically.
Basically.
There were more pages.
There were more pages. So
the number 18 was crossed out.
Or page 2 was written. The other one was ripped up. And then a new page 2 of what was discussed was written at a later date.
So he wants to carry out a forensic test on them, which is known as electrostatic detection analysis, which is basically taking photographs, I'm really oversimplifying it here, of documents. And in the same way that if someone writes in a notepad and they take the top page away, if you do a kind of pencil rubbing on the page underneath, it can reveal the indentation of the writing.
Yes, yeah.
That's basically
Do a Nicolas Cage and National Treasure.
Exactly. He wants to do a high-tech version of that. Because Haldeman used a ballpoint pen during that meeting, so there should be some indentations. But that has not proven fruitful yet, and it's been nearly 10 years since he'd be trying to get that off the ground, that project going. But
it feels like that the ship may have sailed.
Yeah, possibly.
I think so,
possibly. In the year 2000, the National Archives did try to get audio experts to examine the tapes and see if they could, to suggest ways in which they might be able to extract audio from the tapes, you know, if it wasn't wiped properly. But problem is, it's analog technology, unlike digital, which stays forever somewhere on somebody's hard drive, deep in the network and the ether and the cloud. when there's analog stuff, it's when it's deleted, it's deleted.
It is indeed.
I wonder, is the tapes taping in the White House, is that still a thing today? Is that going on all the time? Or did this end after Nixon? Or presumably not, because it seemed Nixon proved its importance, right?
Yeah, I think... I haven't looked it up, actually. Should have done it in preparation for this. But I do believe that subsequent presidents reduced their use of taping.
Yeah, I bet they did.
I'm pretty sure it's still there as a kind of matter of national importance and security kind of thing.
Because Nixon was big on it, wasn't it? It is a personal decision.
Yeah.
From the president's office, if they decide to record.
It is.
So
yeah.
It's his own doing got him entrapped.
Yeah, it's funny how often that happens, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's always the cover-up that gets you. You leave too much evidence. It is a bit silly. You'd think...
Sounds like you're speaking from experience there, Robin.
Yeah, I know. Too many compromising recordings of me.
Tape yourself. Never tape yourself. Amateur hour.
Putin knows.
Yeah.
Well, then. So,
thank you for leading us through that, Robin. I didn't know if you had more then.
But thank you. Thank you for listening.
I'm reminding us.
Yeah, I think it's a good story. I think it's a shame we'll never know what was on that tape, but I think we can make an educated guess. I do like your idea, though, that it was something so top secret and unrelated to Watergate that we're all distracted by the colourful balloon in front of us when actually there's a big crocodile right behind us.
Yeah, Area 52.
I like the idea that it was something totally innocent and even made Nixon look good. You know, he was like, "No, we've got to fund, you know, like poorer, poverty-stricken areas more. We've got to." But he was so inept at technology that he accidentally deleted it, putting his foot on the wrong pedal. Yeah.
Like, yes, the reveal of the other tapes was bad. I admit it. But this one was really good, and I'm just an idiot.
This one was really good. I was just trying to listen in first.
Yeah, it was like, I had a good meeting there. I said a really nice thing. Remind myself of how I phrased that for my next speech. Oh, no, I deleted it.
Oh, the committee's going to love this.
Yeah. Well, he was like, Rose, you look at you. You're very flexible. She's like, delete.
On that note, shall we do a quiz?
Let's
do it.
Let's.
Get your buzzers ready. Welcome to the quiz. Alex V. Hello. Martin for the total victory and full rights claim to the mug, the Orson Welles mug.
So if, Martin, you beat me in today's quiz, are you going to send me the trophy and I'll keep it for the next season?
I know I will. It's time. It is time.
Yeah.
I promise I will. As long as you finally actually send me your address, mate, because it's getting ridiculous.
And then afterwards, obviously, I keep it for another season as well, just to make it for the last season last.
So. That's when Robin wins, and you're just denying him this time. Just,
I'm not sure I'll ever win, to be honest. Three seasons in.
I think you won the first season, didn't you?
I think you won the first season.
Okay. So I won when we didn't have a trophy. As soon as there's something to win, I'm useless.
I think we're one each on seasons, actually.
We might be, yeah.
I think so.
It just doesn't feel that way because it's been so long since you claimed the trophy, Martin.
No. To be honest, Alex, it's through pure... firstly, not knowing where it was. For a long time, I did not know where the trophy was. Mm-hmm. Then I found it. And then it became a game.
The more annoyed I get, the funnier it gets.
Well,
I'm fine. Keep it. I don't care.
Don't care. Tears.
Give it.
Tears running down, like browser open of like trying to order yourself a new one.
I was contemplating it.
It's the same, but it's just not the same.
Yeah.
There we go.
Right.
So.
Okay.
What's the theme for this quiz, Robin? It's not the theme, rugby or anything.
The theme is my pants. So let's see which one of you has been paying more attention. That's not the real theme.
I don't know if you guys can hear it at home, but there's a fly that's buzzing just like around. So I'm going to go and get my electric tennis racket. I'm just going to zap this fly, and you guys can entertain the guys at home for like a couple of minutes, because this is just, I mean, it's going to put me off right now.
Wow, okay? Martin, your
fly's on my side.
Your psychological warfare tactics are becoming more and more elaborate and desperate, Martin. I think
I'm just going to.
That's great, isn't it? Leaves from
so
the
Martin's world. Just announced that he's got an electric tennis racket. What?
Is that even a thing?
Is that a normal thing?
Does he mean a fly swatter? An electric? What?
Martin's electrified his tennis racket in a weird fly zapper way. I've got to see this. I've got to see this, though. this is going to be... Oh, I did just see the fly.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, there it is.
Is that... Okay. I've never seen that before. Is that a thing specially designed to kill flies, or is that...
Flies, yeah, and I think just insects in general. Insects in general. I'm not sure.
Wow.
Yeah.
It requires dexterity and care. Can it hit the furniture? You can get guns, can't you? Like little swatters on the end of a spring, and you just squeeze the trigger and boom.
Oh, that's very America, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't think I got
a gun for flies.
But it has stopped buzzing, so if it comes back, nice. I'm armed. I'm ready.
Just so you know. Done. Lingham the One says, no, not rooting for anyone, just hope you have a really good time.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. That's very nice. Yeah. Lovely.
It's worth, are you doing the quiz rules, Robin, where if anyone
gets
the question right, then...
About to say, yeah, that there'll be 10 questions and a bonus question if there's a tie, or just for fun. And please feel free at home, if you're watching us live, to join in the comments with your answer. The first three people to get the correct answer can give themselves a point. And I'm afraid that my memory and maths ability is not good enough to remember exactly how many points each person has got, especially when there's so many of you. But we'll try. Well, it's the honours system. If you claim that you've got so many points at the end, I will believe you. Just as a note, someone did correct me very helpfully, and I forgot to thank them. I said Watergate was about 40 years ago, and it's not about 50 years ago.
Well, I think Martin said the last time we discussed it was in 2014, 2015, yeah. So maybe you're just, time has flown, Robin.
Yeah.
It was nearly 40 years then.
It was, yeah. It's poor that well, actually. So, have you got your buzzers ready, gentlemen?
Oh, yes.
Have indeed.
Martin, what is your buzzer?
I've gone for a classic, but I've never used before, but I know you have historically, Robin.
The Wilhelm scream. Love, I haven't used that for ages. Yeah. Well remembered. Yeah.
I know.
It's been ages, hasn't it? Alex,
you'll be making that scream after the quiz.
Oh,
I can't stop it now.
Alex, what's your buzzer?
I've gone for a tried and tested it's kind of the finale of this season, even though we're into the next one now.
The French champagne has always been celebrated for its excellence.
It's a California champagne. Ooh. I'm glad.
It's worth shouting out as well. Someone on Twitter, I can't remember their name, I will find it, but they shared with us some AI-generated images of Orson Welles shipping.
Sipping
French champagne. Yeah. That was spiffing. Thank you, spiffing. Yeah. That was. I loved that. Yeah, we've got to work that into the background.
They were amazing, yeah.
I'm actually tempted to get like a big art print or something of one of them.
Yeah, a couple of them were actually really cool. Yeah, I like those. Yeah. So, right. Gentlemen and listeners, are you ready for question number one?
Oh, yes.
I was born ready.
Born ready? Well, we'll start off gently with a question that is actually testing your memory of something that you discussed in the podcast quite recently. So, closest wins. How much money in pounds sterling, the oldest currency in use in the world, is estimated to have been invested in one coin by 2017?
French.
Yes, Alex.
Oh, God, I don't remember. I'm going to guess, though, 2 billion.
Okay, Alex's guess is 2 billion. Martin?
I think it was a little bit more. So I think the person who ran off with all the money, by how much, 2021?
By 2017, which is when she got caught.
Oh, 2017. Well, they were a billionaire, weren't they? I'm going to go a little bit higher. 3 billion.
Martin is closest. The actual amount is 12 billion.
What? Oh my God, what?
Yeah.
12 billion.
And that was pounds. Pounds were invested.
Pounds, yeah, 12
sterling.
Billion pounds worldwide.
I didn't realize it was that much just pounds.
That is crazy, isn't it? Yeah.
Hold on a second. 12 billion pounds times 16 cows.
15 cows. 15.
You could buy so many cows.
It was 15 cows, Martin. Inflation has already taken effect.
Thank goodness that's not the quiz question.
People in the comments, how did we get... some people in the comments got quite close. Spiffing said 15 billion. So I think that is the closest. And then Dean Carpenter...
I was like looking into that one as well. Why didn't I get that?
I thought, I thought you'd remember, Alex. So Dean Carpenter said 3.5 billion. So I think that deserves a point. Q97 said 1 billion, which makes you the third closest, I think. Everyone else was more... well, a bit more optimistic, I think, in terms of the amount that that was made. Let's say that. And yes, Microtech 5871. You do participate if you wish. First three people to get the correct answer in the comments can give themselves a point. So that was Recu97 and Spiffing and Dean Carpenter.
Lovely.
So, question number two.
Okay, come on, get my head in the game. There's the trophies at stake here. I need to raise the stakes.
You need your language and perhaps your culinary knowledge might be useful here, fellas.
Oh, God.
Your cultural culinary knowledge. What is the English name for wasabi? Yes, Martin.
Wasabi. Wasabi is a mustard pea.
No.
I'm not sure then.
What? It took you a while to say no there.
Because, well, it's not the answer I was expecting, but it was so not the answer I was expecting. I thought, does Martin know something I don't? It was such confidence.
That was
like,
that was a good guess.
It was. It's not that.
Wasabi.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Did you like the conviction?
I was so impressed. I was like, am I wrong? Have I got the wrong answer?
I think I've heard this before somewhere, but I don't know where.
What's the translation of it? Or what's the English name for it?
English name for it, not the direct. Well, the English name is kind of the direct translation because it's the Japanese name for this thing.
Okay. Yeah.
French champagne.
Yes, Alex.
I mean, this is something different. I don't really know a huge amount about this, but I think in some restaurants they use this in place of actual real wasabi and they colour it. So I'm going to go for it. Is it horseradish?
It is. Oh.
It is horseradish.
Is that it?
It is, yeah.
That's going to be my next guess. It's not horseradish, though, is it? Why is it green?
Well, here's a chance, Martin, if you can give me the common name, you might be able to get this point.
No, wait, what? Is this question three?
This is the same question.
Wait, no, Martin can't get a point then. You've already allocated me the point.
No, it's actually... Well, what are you going to say, Martin?
It's something horseradish, isn't it? It's not just horseradish.
I don't know. What would you guess?
I don't know. Green horseradish.
No, sadly. Japanese horseradish. Cool. That point goes to Alex.
That's close enough.
Quite a lot of people in the comments knew this one. I think Peter Kazol, that's how you say your name, Peter. Dan and Microtech 5871 were the first three people to get the answer.
Wow.
Lingham the One said green gold. Is that a thing? I don't know what green gold is.
It's the new gold rush. Actually, green wasabi, gold. It's really kind of... It's quite expensive, isn't it? Selling, like, if you like farming it, is like one of the most profitable things you can do, I think.
Wow.
Farming wasabi.
Why are we here on YouTube doing a podcast about this when we could be farming wasabi? Okay. Question number three, and it's 1-1. Okay, Martin, what's your answer?
17.
That is not the right answer.
That's number one.
Yeah. Okay, question number three. Which science fiction horror classic novel is subtitled The Modern Prometheus? Oh, Martin, straight in there.
I have no idea. Let's go for Frankenstein.
It is Frankenstein.
Was that right?
Well done. Modern Prometheus.
Wow, what?
Yeah.
It's back.
Science fiction.
there's loads so much electric. Okay, I think it's gone.
Right. Fly came back to life, just like Frankenstein's monster.
Oh, he's swatting. He's swatting them. It's alive!
I feel like I have to...
It's fine. It's fine.
I have to wait. But let's see if anyone in the... Whilst Martin swats, let's see if anyone in the
I would
comments
not have
got
that, though.
Ah, yes.
Yeah, in fairness. So, fair enough.
Well, it's only if you... I'm not even sure if all editions of the book these days actually have that subtitle on it.
Is that your favourite book, Robin?
No, I'd say Dracula's my favourite book. So that's what you're thinking of.
Okay. And it's a modern Prometheus.
The modern Frankenstein, or the modern Prometheus, I think is what it's called in full. So, people in the comments...
How did they know when it was released that Prometheus the movie would come out later on?
Back in 2012, like,
yeah.
She was a woman ahead of her time, Alex.
Huge fan of J.J. Abrams.
I think...
Was it J.J. Abrams?
No, it was Ridley Scott.
Ridley Scott, that's what I mean.
I think Lingam the One is the only person in the comments who got Frankenstein.
Fair enough.
Misspelt, of course, they say, but well done. Give yourself a point. Spiffing says JJ in his lens first. Give yourself a point. Sorry. If you get
great. Misspelled, of course.
Oh, Angelos87 says, I haven't been in the quiz in ages, bloody weekdays. Oh, sorry, Angelos.
Oh dear. Well, you can still join in.
Yeah, join in now.
We're not running away
You're
with
here.
That.
You're here for us. Thanks for being here. All right, question number 4. Geography, fellas. Geography.
Ooh, okay.
Glacier National Park is in which U.S. state?
The French Champagne.
Yes, Alex.
I am going to go for Alaska.
No.
Oh, nuts.
Glacier National Park. It's going to be... Glacier. What's something like Wyoming?
No.
Well, how about a little clue?
Oh, okay.
Oh, no, Martin's wants another guess.
If you want to have another guess, go ahead.
We both can have another guess?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Nebraska.
Not Nebraska.
Nebraska.
French Champagne.
Glacier National Park. I'm thinking maybe it's misleading. Maybe there's no glaciers there. Maybe it's just the shape that was carved out from them. But then, having said that, I don't know anything else about that, where to go from there. Colorado.
No, it's not Colorado.
Oh.
Geographically, I think you're a little off. I think this state is as... Glacier National Park's name would suggest, in the chillier parts of the country.
Oh, I thought I was quite close to Nebraska.
I was trying my hardest.
Nebraska might be quite close.
French Champagne.
Yes, Alex?
Thought I'd sneak in there with another one. Minnesota?
No.
Oh.
Yes.
North Dakota?
No.
Any other clues?
Okay, I'll give you a couple of Martin's guesses have been geographically very close to it.
That's good again. No, probably not. Is it your guess? Yeah.
No, I think.
No, you buzzed. You buzzed. That's a clue counts as like a new reset.
Washington State.
Not Washington.
Pacific West. That's what I'm going for.
North. Yes, Alex.
I don't know it that well over there. That's always a
glaciers there, will there?
I don't know where these are. Oregon, is that that's a state?
You're not too far off. But okay, next clue, and it will be a big clue, I guess.
Okay, hang on. Oh, hang on. Let me just refresh my buzzer. Okay, there's a lot riding on this one. Okay,
he's dead keen. Someone in the comments has got it already.
Ooh.
It begins with first initial is M. Yes, Alex.
Who is that? That was me? I think, I mean, I heard Martin's at the same time, which means that it's probably Martin that got it, I'd say.
Well, that's very kind of you to concede. Okay, then, Martin, Alex has given you the guess.
Michigan.
Not Michigan.
Oh, okay. Phew.
What?
It's not Michigan. It begins with M.
Aha. No.
oh God, I can't get this wrong now. I've got one in my head, but I don't think it's North. Maybe it is, but I don't.
Who was it?
As has always been celebrated for its excellence.
Yes.
Maine?
Not Maine.
No, come on.
Although Maine is further north than most people think. Yes, Martin, was that a buzz?
Yeah, a buzz. Montana.
It is Montana.
Montana.
It is Montana.
Hannah Montana.
Yeah, because it said Hannah. If I said Hannah, you would have. Yeah, got it. Yeah. The Glacial Girl. Oh, so that's another point to Martin.
Oh, God. What's that?
It's 3-1. 3-1.
Oh, God.
Oh. We're only on question like 5.
Well, question 4. Yeah, we're about to do question 5. Yeah. Okay. A few people in the comments got it.
Glacial. What was it called? First, I can't remember what the thing was.
Glacier National Park.
Glacier National Park in Montana, of course.
Yeah. First person I think to get it was Recu97. And then the next people to get it were Microtech 5871 and Lil Rax. I can't pronounce that name.
Montana.
Lil Rax, I think, is how you say that.
Well done.
Well done, guys. Oh, Casual Gamers in the chat. Hey, Casual Gamer. Woo.
Our answers to that were also a little bit glacial, weren't they? They really were.
I think my clue giving was also a bit glacial. I could have kept the pace up by giving you useful clues.
I was in my area, wasn't I?
You were, with Wyoming, Dakota, actually, and Dakota. Yeah, yeah, they're very close, so yeah.
Yeah, that bit of the US is a bit of a...
No one talks about it. It's just nice and calm there, so no one ever talks about it in the international news. Mm. Okay, so moving on to question 5, and this is a subject dear to my heart, so I hope you both know the answer to this. Fingers on buzzers.
Oh, God, I'm not going to know it.
In the 1997 cinematic masterpiece, Batman and Robin, who played Mr. Freeze?
Ooh, that was the same time again. Don't confuse Martin's loud one for...
Excuse me.
Awesome was at a quiet point, but that does not mean that he wasn't there.
Before you protested, Alex, I was about to say, I think I just heard yours come in just ahead.
Yeah, I like it. I like it.
Outrageous.
No, that was completely fair enough. Yeah, it was Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yes, you're right.
Thank you.
It was indeed Arnold.
It's time to kick ice.
Cool party. Still 3-2 to Martin going in to question number 6. But
Martin, just let me have it. I need it.
To be fair, a lot of people
I need it.
A lot of people criticize Arnie for being Mr. Freeze, but actually, I think he's great casting.
For
1990s
really
Mr. Freeze. Yeah. So anyone in the first people in the chat to get it were Peter Casol, Dean Carpenter, and Dan. Well done. Pretty much everyone got it, but those are the first 3 to comment. So, going into question number 6. Closest wins. So, I was about to say, you've got equal chance of getting this right. I don't know if that's actually true. Depends if you know the answer or not. Well, ooh, funny. You were talking about weights earlier on in the podcast, but this question is, how many grams are there in an ounce?
Oh, no! Oh. What's an ounce?
Closest
it doesn't
wins.
Make sense! An ounce? What is that? And what? It's one of those things that I just hear and I'm like, oh, yeah, an ounce.
Yeah.
I have no idea what an ounce is.
So you said in a pound, I'll give you a better answer.
Mm.
I don't know. Ounces. How many ounces are tough? They're too small.
How many ounces in a pound?
I'll count this as a clue. There are 16 ounces in a pound.
Okay.
So I don't know if you can work out from that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Here we go.
How are the folks in the chat doing?
I'm just going to guess.
Sure. Some people came close. Yeah.
I'm going to say 75 grams.
Okay.
I think it's a bit less. I think it's around 40.
See, Martin's always good at the maths, and I think he's been given a way to work it out, and I think he's going to be spot on.
Well, he's not spot on, but he is closest. There are 28.4 grams in an ounce.
Oh,
although I think in a troy ounce, there may be 33 or 32.
Troy?
Troy.
I thought you said trolley.
A trolley ounce. Yes, a trolley ounce. But I think some people in the chat actually got it spot on.
Oh, wow.
We got Microtech 5871, Lil Rax, and... Oh, yeah, they got it spot on. Bless you. Oh, bless you. I think the next closest was Yeva Pavina. Apologies again if I've mispronounced your name. Yeah, well done.
Oh, well done, everyone.
Well done, everyone. Got a smart bunch today.
Oh, my gosh.
I think... I have a feeling somebody in the chat now scored higher than Martin, but is now 4-2 to Martin, going into question 7. So,
Sorry, I missed that. Was it 4-2, did you say?
4-2, yeah. Going into question 7, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So it's possible.
I can do this. I don't know why I care so much.
But you do. Okay. You do. Okay. Whatever. I wrote this quiz the other day. I was doing a Martin and just picking topics that interested me. I don't know what put this in my mind, but in what country was Penelope Cruz born?
Oh,
that was Martin.
Was she born in Spain?
She was.
Oh.
That was a pretty obvious answer. Sorry. I guess I was hoping that might feel like a trick question, yeah. Mm. But Martin has that confidence to just go
well
for it.
Well done.
Nice. Nice and done. Oh, yeah, everyone in the chat seems to have got it, except for Dan, who suggested Norway. Good try. Maybe she likes Norway. I don't know. But
Well, in fairness, it felt like maybe it's if it's not Spain, then it's what it could be like. Yeah,
Portugal.
Why not a Nordic country? Yeah.
Portugal, Argentina, kind of. Maybe.
Yeah. Somewhere with a Spanish accent. Yeah, Dean Carpenter, Lingam the One, and Peter Cazol were the first three to guess Spain. So we're going into question 8.
5-2.
5-2.
Oh, God.
Alex, if you get all three, you can tie. Yeah.
Here we go. Okay. I'm standing up for this. It's actually really uncomfortable. I don't know why.
Yeah,
I'm doing
that is.
This.
That
yeah,
just
yeah, yeah. Make yourself comfortable. Yeah,
I'm gonna back out from that stance. Yep. Okay. But I'm good.
All right. This is definitely a fingers on buzzers, fellas, because it's a true or false.
Oh, well, maybe not a fingers on buzzers then.
Okay.
leave the other people.
True or false? 1 light year is equivalent to 9.5 trillion kilometers.
Has been celebrated for its excellence.
Yes, Alex.
That is false.
I was going to say true.
It is true.
Oh, for God's sake!
It is true.
No! No!
I'm so sorry.
Alex,
he can't keep getting away with this!
You can be the guardian of it for me. And it can remind you of my victory every time you hold it.
I'm so sorry.
Oh, sorry, Alex.
Angelos87 says, Alex is trying so hard, I can't help but root for him. I mean,
it's too late. It's too late, Angelos. But thank you. Thank you. It was a stitch up. This was a stitch up. No, it wasn't. It's been a perfectly fair quiz so far. Just, you know, the right questions just haven't been coming up.
People haven't turned up.
Yeah, well,
in a washout.
First people in the chat to get it right were Recu97, Casual Gamer, and Microtech 5871.
It's the heat. It's too hot.
It's too hot.
In
it's too hot. I'm hungry.
Can't just have hungry dinner. Quiz.
Just have dinner instead of jumping.
So, well, we've got two questions, fellas. Would you like to do them to see what the final score actually is?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Happy to do that. Yeah. Okay.
Hmm.
You sure? You sure, Alex?
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm fully. I'm back.
Well, Martin, now, so. I hope you're sitting back, pouring yourself a pint, relaxing, because you don't even have to buzz now. You just sit back and relax. Okay.
He will, though, to demolish me. Absolutely destroy any semblance of
dignity
I can have.
Well, how hot are you on your art history? Because question number 9 is a little bit about this. which Renaissance artist was permanently disfigured when another artist punched him in the nose? I heard Martin's Wilhelm scream.
Renaissance?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know now. Renaissance artist. Oh. Who Renaissance was?
I know one, and if it's not him, I'm screwed.
Michelangelo.
It was Michelangelo.
Oh, for God's sake.
Alex, is that what you're going to guess, or were you going to say?
No, I was going to say the other one. I was going to say Raphael.
Yeah, the only clue I had lined up for that was Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. There, turtles themed. So,
That would have been, yeah.
Yeah. People in the chat, I don't think anybody. No. We got Angelos87 said Fabio. Is there a famous artist called Fabio? Or is that just a... Was that just a stab in the dark?
Maybe. It sounds pretty Italian, and a lot of them were.
Yeah, the Renaissance was in Italy, wasn't it?
Yeah.
We got Da Vinci and the Caravaggio, but we also got Van Gogh and Rembrandt.
Who's
your favourite artist of all time?
Oh, that's really difficult to say.
I guess art as in painting art.
Yeah.
Artist is a broad term.
Constable.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a big Constable fan.
Oh, really?
And Turner. I mean, if I'm going for a British artist here.
Yeah, of course.
Turner as well, and his seascapes. Yeah.
Sounds like a buddy cop movie waiting to happen.
Constable and Turner.
Yeah. Constable, he's a cop with a cop's name.
He
doesn't turn from the truth.
I went to an exhibition of reproducing the Sistine Chapel paintings a couple of months ago. Not life size, but bigger than life size. You know, laid out in a hall, a big barn, as if you were in the Sistine Chapel. But you could get a much better look at them than if you actually went to the Sistine Chapel. And I have to admit, Michelangelo was something very special. Very special.
Not bad. But someone did mention Caravaggio. Great work with lighting.
Yeah, I was about to say, what do they call it? Light and dark, the term for light and dark.
Contrast?
No, it's an Italian word.
I see.
Someone in the comments know this. It's bugging me. It's going to bug me.
Yeah, that's really bugging me as well.
Chiaroscuro.
Same.
Chiaroscuro, that's the one I'm thinking of. Whew. Okay. someone in the comments said Bob Ross.
Bob Ross is great. Yeah.
Bernini. Dean Carpenter says Bernini. Interesting. I haven't looked much Bernini. So, final question. Can Alex catch up? This question is worth 8 points.
Yes. Really? Please?
No, I don't think I don't think I can justify making this 8 points, sadly.
Please, Robin. Please.
I mean, right, it's the closest
Make
wins.
Make it be 8 points.
It's another closest wins, so fingers on buzzers. Okay. In what year was the first sound recording device patented?
Goodness. Sound recording French device.
Champagne has always been celebrated for its excellence.
Patented?
Yes. Because it could have been invented in the same year, but yeah.
Oh, okay. I'll still go... 1883.
Okay.
A little bit later. 18, probably the turn of the century, but 1891.
Well, Alex is closer. It was 1857.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That's
early.
Yeah.
Wasn't Tesla involved in this, or he was inspired by it or something?
I don't know if he's inspired by this one, because Tesla did work with Edison, and Edison obviously... famously made the first phonograph that was commercially available, I think. But he was beaten to the punch by this one, which was a French fella, I think, who patented a sound recording device in 1857, and it worked a bit like a lie detector. It didn't actually... You couldn't play back. It just traced sound waves on a piece of paper. It was a scientific device meant to measure sound, or rather represent sound, so you could compare different sound waves and see how different pitches are compared to each other. And then it took about 14 years or something for somebody who was using it to realize, wait a second, if we just did this backwards, we could play the sound back. So yeah, they've they became the first device to also play sound back. But by the time they'd figured that out, Edison had already patented and was already launching his sound recording device. So it never took off.
This close. To greatness.
Yeah. It was called the phonautograph.
Do you ever wonder, like, with a kind of butterfly effect and stuff, just what if? Imagine if they'd just invented it that 14 years earlier. They just pieced together that puzzle. What would the world look like today if, you know, that had just happened 14 years earlier? You know, what would the knock-on effects of that be? It'd be interesting.
Anyway.
Right. Well, the final
I'm just trying to say something kind of intellectual sounding, because it doesn't look good from the scores at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, not to rub it in, Alex, but I feel like this is one of the biggest discrepancies in score that we've had for a long time.
No,
but
you did. No, it hasn't. It's 7-3.
7-3. However,
this is the worst anyone has ever done.
No, it definitely is not.
We've had some.
I've definitely had some
really bad
ones. I've lost to both of you guys 9-1 at least once.
Maybe to Alex. I don't think he'd lost to me that much. But yeah, it's.
I've had some shockers.
Some of us have had some bad ones. Yeah. Whereas when you've had a newborn child keeping you up at night, and we're taking full advantage of that. So, hey, Martin, let's record at midnight.
How much sleep did I get last night? Full 8 hours.
No, it's no excuse. I've you know, made this bed for myself. I have. Oh, well, not the bed. I wish I made a bed for myself. No. In fact, I can hear some crying now.
Oh, no.
There we go.
Oh, sorry. I mentioned the devil.
Yeah.
Not calling your children demons. Sorry, that wasn't what I was trying to say. Casual Gamer says that's in the original Dracula book, I think, the phonautograph.
Interesting.
That's cool.
It definitely, Dr. Seward, records his diary vocally. He dictates it, which is really cool. And it feels more people should do that. I should do that. I should keep a diary just by talking, because it's so much easier than writing.
Like Alan Partridge.
Yes.
Note to self.
Yes. Yeah. Well, your favourite book, though, Robin. I mean, I need to read it. I've never read it.
That's good.
That's going to be on the immediate list. I wonder if they've got it in my library. I'll go and have a look.
I mean, it must be. It's very widely available. It's a classic. It's in the public domain now as well, so you can probably get it online for free too.
Yeah, but I don't want to read off a screen. Come on, I want the book on the pages.
Yeah, I like it so much. I have multiple copies. I have a travel reading copy. I have a home copy, and then I have one of those, you know, on the shelf. Keep it precious.
Do you have a paperback and a hardback?
Yeah,
and a bareback.
I have a bareback. Not right now, so I'm wearing a T-shirt. But yes, I have both.
And you've got all of it just intricately tattooed along your back.
Got the entirety of the Dracula book. Minuscule writing tattooed on my back. Yeah. If I flex my shoulder, I think it's the bit where Mina gets bitten for the first time. Spoilers!
Spoilers. No, come on. I just said I wanted to read it.
It's only just gone into the public domain. Come on.
I should have read out scores in the comments. Who got closest in the comments to 1857? We got some surprisingly close. Recu 97 said 1869.
Good.
Which is pretty close. And then we got
bloody good year.
1870 from Dean Carpenter. And I think the next closest must be Lingham the One with 1874. So you can give yourselves a point, fellas. And Casual Gamer guessed 1770, which, I mean, that's brave. That's a brave guess. I would not go back that far. Wouldn't it be awesome?
It could be one of those things where it's a surprising realization to realize it was actually way sooner, but before they knew what to do with it.
That's a good
point. Like when Da Vinci was drawing up things for tanks.
Yeah, the helicopter. You could never actually build it. Yeah, that's a good point, actually. So maybe it's... Maybe there is some fascinating patented device that predates the actual device being created. We could look into that, maybe. Ooh. Would you like to do the bonus question?
Yeah, yes. put me out of my misery, Robin.
It's another closest wins, you'll be pleased to know.
Okay.
How many countries formed from the dissolution of the Soviet Union in 1991?
Ooh. Oh, that's a good question. Oh, blimey.
Scale.
Yes, Martin?
I was going to go for 14.
Okay.
Oh, that is very close. Yeah, I was going to say similar.
Champagne.
Yes, Alex.
I wish I'd gone first.
I'm not going to say, you said 14. I'm not going to say 13 because then it'll be 15. So I'm going to say 12. 12.
It's 15.
Oh, for God's sake! For God's sake!
So well done, Martin. So sorry, Alex.
This has been a shout.
This is wonderful. This is
how
wonderful.
Am I going to show my face next week?
Lost it. Ruined the weekend. It's only Thursday.
This heat is just terrible. It takes its toll in Edinburgh.
This heat, yeah.
Do you know what I was going to guess before you said 14? And I'm not making this up. This is going to be my first guess, was going to be 15. Because it was a nice round number. Yeah. But then you said 14. Yeah. You got in my head.
And you went the wrong way. You went down. So should have stuck to your guns, Alex. Trust your instincts. But Casual Gamer and Microtech 5871 both said 15 exactly in the comments. And then Lingam the One guessed 16, so really close. Martin said 14. Is that now, Martin? You did. You're really well educated when it comes to politics and things. Is that because you knew somewhere at the back of your mind that the Soviet Union?
So,
Well, no, you got it. You're one off. So that's one off. Pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. No, nothing like that. Just a bit of a guess. Nothing mental, Robin. Too much credit given. Whereas Alex would have been spot on. So.
I would have been. I wasn't, though.
You weren't, no.
Never mind. Oh, dear.
Oh, dear.
No, great quiz, Robin. Really good.
Well,
fantastic.
Thank
probably
you
best
so
quiz
much.
Of the year, in fact.
Because you won the grand finale. Well, I think it makes sense for this to be the grand finale of season 3, right? Since you had to do the tiebreaker quiz.
Yeah.
It kind of does. Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah.
Even though that would make us liars last week when we called that the season finale.
It was going to be. Mm. It was going to be. But now this is. We shall be recording.
Then you had to win the quiz, Robin. You had to.
Yeah.
Go.
Yeah. Sorry. I messed it up because now episode 91 is the season 3 finale, which is just an awkward number. But hey. So maybe
this is neither season. Maybe this is like the,
ooh,
the one
be.
We can delete
the
after
floater
this.
In the middle. Yeah, the one that
season 3 ended with where it was just left open. And then we never found out who won or lost the quiz.
It's the deleted 18 and a half minutes.
Yes, this could be that.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
No, it was a very good quiz, Robin, and well done, Martin.
Well, thank you.
Congratulations.
Oh, thanks. Yeah.
Never
speak
to
humble.
Me again.
Oh, dear. Well,
enjoy your trophy. I hope it makes you very happy.
Anyone who hasn't seen that in our audience, just looking, come dine with me. I hope it makes you very happy. That'll probably come up with it. Enjoy it.
Yeah,
enjoy it.
That's good.
Such a
it's
British reference.
It is. It's
Well, thank you so much for joining me today, gents. I had a fascinating chat with you about the missing Nixon tapes. We'll probably record some a little more interesting for our Patreon and YouTube members, possibly about the Trump stuff that's going on. Who knows? We definitely have to talk about it at some point. And, of course, there are many other topics. I was going to say, because we hadn't quite decided yet, but we may kind of take a brief break between season 3 and 4 to kind of just think about things. So
think about things.
Nothing serious. Just
plan the next season.
Plan the next season, basically. Yeah. Yeah, nothing too dramatic. We'll see you when we see you. It could be as soon as next week. It might be a little further away. We don't know yet. But if we do, we'll definitely be keeping the Patreon and YouTube member stuff going, so please do check that out. Don't worry, all our lovely supporters, you keep the channel going, you keep us going, and of course all you lovely viewers and listeners keep us going, because it's just amazing that anybody listens to us at all, to be honest. I'm always bowled over by this, the fact that people enjoy listening to us, so thank you so much. And I think that's all there is to say.
That's everything.
See you soon.
See you next time.
See you in season four, chaps.
Oh, yeah. Season four, where shows tend to get bad, right?
No, it's when they peak. It's when they peak.
Season four is really the best, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's when they peak. And then
you're right.
That's when they come into their stride.
Yeah.
By season eight, you're going off in a boat and you supposedly shipwrecked, but then you appear on some island at the end and then you're a logger. So
yeah, exactly.
I don't know if anyone's seen that particular series.
Is that Dexter?
Bonus, I think it's Dexter, right? Well then. Also, I think season four is usually where major creative forces behind the scenes leave a show, right? And then it changes hands, and that's when the decline starts. So we'll see. Mm. We'll see if the showrunner leaves. Aaron Sorkin.
I wish we had a showrunner behind the scenes.
It's just us. Don't
directing
worry.
This.
No one's going.
Absolute lunacy.
What are you doing? Got fired. Yeah.
Well, see you next time, folks. Bye for now.
See you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.